Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. We come together, the God Is family, as we meet around the radio or via whatever gadget delivers you this free God Is podcast. I'm glad that you've decided to spend these few minutes with us. And I want to begin today by reminding you of this program we have in our hands as we imagine ourselves in a stage theater watching the real story of a man named Job play out. Job is a real man in a real place, and here is his life. More specifically, what God is doing in his life in three acts. And in Act 1, there are four scenes. We have witnessed and listened to Act 1, Scene 1, and Act 1, Scene 2. Today we come to Act 1, Scene 3, as the curtain is again pulled back. We lift our eyes now off the stage and look again high above to heaven, where Scene 3 of Act 1 takes place. This is Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. If you have your Bible with you, follow along with me as I read, beginning in Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." I'll pause the reading here in the middle of verse 3. Doesn't this sound familiar to you, like you read it before? This happens to me regularly. I read a lot, research much, for two different radio and podcast ministries, plus other teaching and writing, like for sermons. And sometimes I confuse myself. I cannot remember what Bible text applies to what ministry. I read something and move on, and then I go back and reread it, and I think, I've read this before, but when and for what? And suddenly it will dawn on me. That happened to me preparing for this week in the book of Job. Where have I heard this before? The answer is in chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, the first scene in heaven, matches what I just read in Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 3a, also in heaven. That's where you read this, heard this before. You're not losing your mind after all, and neither am I. Notice again that God is in charge, doing what he alone does, reigning and ruling. The sons of God, angels, come, and Satan, the adversary, the accuser, is there. They are there because they are all accountable to God. Again, God asks Satan a question, and again, God gives his assessment, his evaluation of Job. It has not changed from chapter 1. Let's continue with the reading as we enter the second half of verse 3. This is Job chapter 2, halfway through verse 3. God is speaking in heaven, and he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. Again, I will stop here and insert some comments before we continue at verse 4 in a little bit. I want you to highlight in your mind and hear this statement from God, his perspective on what Satan did to Job in chapter 1. Remember that God has created an opening in the hedge of protection that God had built around Job's life, and Satan took advantage of that opening and took away Job's possessions, killing his 10 children. It was a vicious attack designed to destroy Job's faith in God, to make Job curse God to God's face. But note what God says. "And he," Job, "still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Adding to his assessment of Job, God tells Satan that Job has held on to his integrity. This word integrity is a key word. It is descriptive of Job's character, who he is as a man of God. The Hebrew word for integrity is popular in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. It means that one's life is integrated, whole and complete. Listen to Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. Proverbs 11, 3. That's a good way to think of integrity. The upright, the righteous, have integrity, and that integrity guides them. Hopefully us, guides us. But crookedness in the treacherous is destructive. Let us not be crooked, but upright, people of integrity. According to Holy God, Job has integrity. Job held God in highest regard. Job believed in the absolute supremacy of God, and Job believed that before Satan successfully attacked his family, and Job still believes that after these devastating losses. We saw this in how Job responded to God at the end of chapter 1 recently, this week. Well, how much integrity do you have? Is your life integrated, whole, and complete? The integrated, whole, and complete life is a life lived righteously before God in good times and bad. Job gets at integrity when he says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I feel the same way about God now as I did when all 10 children were with me and when I was prosperous. I hold to my integrity. In fact, later in Job 27, verse 5, Job says this, "Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me." Job 27, 5. Can we say that? Integrity is a key word here. Highlight it in your Bible, and while you are at it, also highlight this phrase, "You incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Oh, my friends, this is a crucial statement made by the living God in the entire book of Job, even in the whole Word of God. Here, the Lord says the suffering that Job has endured is not Job's fault. Job did nothing to deserve what he got. Job suffered for nothing within him, for nothing he had done or not done. The reason Job has this trial descend upon him is a reason known only to God. And the only reason we know the reason is because God put these scenes in heaven in the Bible. Remember, we know something, we see something, and we hear something that Job does not. God says, without cause. This is very similar to Satan's statement to God back in Job 1, verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? Here, God turns the statement back on Satan. Job is innocent, Satan, but you are guilty. God says to the devil, "You did this to Job. My servant Job did not deserve it." And this is very practical to us. Often when we are in the midst of suffering, of testing and trial, we assume that we must be at fault. I did something to deserve this, but what? God is punishing me, but why? Why is this happening to me? But what we all often fail to consider is that the answer to the question is there is nothing in you that has caused your suffering. You are innocent. The suffering comes to you not because of something you have done, but rather for a divine purpose that is unknowable to you. I've had personal experience with this, and I have had pastoral experience with this. Yes, I've had suffering in my life, and I have had this exact thought, I did something to deserve this, but what? God is punishing me, but why? Why is this happening to me? And I have searched and searched, going backwards and forwards over my life, in detail, in prayer, crying out to God, trying to make sense of my trials, trying to figure them out. I am a curious personality who loves clarity and likes to ask and answer the why question, but I have missed this. The answer can be that there is nothing in me that has caused me this trouble. Instead, God has a purpose, and I will never know his purpose. The purpose is hidden from me in heaven. There are scenes in my own life played out in heaven, and I do not know about them. Yes, that bothers me. It bugs me. But as God would say lovingly, too bad, Mark. I am the creator. You are the creature. Now bow in worship of me. I am not accountable to you. You are accountable to me. I do not know if you can relate to me on this point or not. On Monday, I will tell you about my pastoral experiences in which I often encountered thinking along these lines. As we will soon need to end for today and this week, I pray that you will gather up what you learned this week in the book of Job on God is, and that you will think prayerfully of what the Lord God is saying to you. If you are willing to spend time being reflective, you will be surprised at what you learn. Let us be people who take a great deal of concentrated time in the Bible. Well, today is the last day I will remind you to write to me this month if you'd like to receive this free gift, Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Would you be willing to carve out just a few minutes of your time on the weekend to send me an email or a note through the post office and let me know you listen and on what station or via the podcast? And please feel free to include comments or questions, maybe a prayer request. I'll be grateful if you do. Stay tuned now for my addresses. May has been the month for mail. Of course, you could write to me anytime about anything. Maybe June will be your month to write. I sure hope so. Whatever the case may be, I am looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Do not underestimate the encouragement it will be to me if you drop me a note, and I thank you in advance for doing so. I also hope you'll be right back here again on Monday, as together we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.